I'm an alcoholic who's been truly blessed to be given this gift of recovery. My name is Kathy. And I'm just always overwhelmed. I want to thank you, Chris, for inviting me to come back and share on 6, 7, and 8. I'm so grateful to be anywhere to represent AA. I really am. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm so grateful that my Rockaway people are here, too. It means so much. I think the best fellowship in the world is Rockaway. And if your home group is not the best, come visit us. I wanna. My heart feels so moved. And I'm realizing more and more that this is really a beginner's meeting. You know, it took me 3 weeks to realize that. But I really especially want to welcome anybody that's new, anybody that's coming back, anybody that's old, anybody that's new to getting into the big book. This book is a living, breathing book. I wish I could open up my heart and just show you how much. My life has changed radically from doing this book. My life has changed over the years from the beginning, from recovery. I'm so excited. I get turned on by recovery. I really do. I think it's the best antidote for depression. You know, I just get so excited. Especially when I see people coming in, people that I've seen struggling for a long time, and I see them coming in and I see the light start to go on in their eye, you know, and they start to make it. I have had so many doubts over the years with God. You know, one thing I have never doubted in all these years is Alcoholics Anonymous. I really haven't. I know that it works. I put my life on this, honestly. But when I go through the struggles with God and I see a newcomer coming in, then it just tells me that there is a God. Because I know where I was, I couldn't get myself here. I couldn't do it. I think back to the days, I have a wonderful mother and father. And I was just showing someone before the meeting started, I have my father's 12 and 12. And in the back of the book, he wrote January 1st, 1984, the fifth step. He did the fifth step. And January 17th, 1985, he went home to God. And he was a remarkable man. He always reminded me of George Burns. He was a funny little guy. He used to say all the sayings, easy does it, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I thought he made that stuff up. And when I came into AA, it was like having him all over again, you know, just a wonderful experience. But what I was in touch with today, when I was thinking about coming here tonight, I remember when I first came to meetings in Rockaway back in 1987. And I came to my second meeting and before I even go there, those of us that have been here for a minute, for a little while, can you go back and can you remember how you felt the day that you first came here? Do you remember how horrible the feelings on the inside were? I didn't know who I was, you know. I felt like I was an orphan inside my own body. That's how I felt. And I come into AA and I came to my second meeting and some woman turned around and she said, "Hi, Kathy." And I was done. This woman remembered my name. I didn't know who I was in those days, and she cared enough about me to remember my name. And so I try to remember that to the people that are coming in now. I don't know who you are because this is not my group, not my area. But if you are new, a special welcome to you guys. This is welcome to the journey of your life. I don't know how you feel, but I'm telling you how I felt. I felt so horrible. I often use the word prostitution because that's how I felt. I had prostituted myself, and I'm not talking about sex, I'm talking about just giving myself away till there was nothing left. The lights were on and nobody was home. I was even brought up in a time period where that's the way women were culturized. We were socialized to become somebody's husband, somebody's mother, you know, but not yourself, you know. And so I didn't have a sense. All things were, well, what do you want to do tonight, you know? And getting into the steps helped me to learn a lot, helped me to go to the source that really could straighten all this out. I always felt, I know in the third step it talks about self-centeredness, that's the root of our problem, and I always felt for me that codependency was the root of me, loving you and losing me, not having a clue who I am, but I'll take care of you, you know, take my advice, I'm not using it, you know. And so when I got into the book, well, let me go back to step seven. And when we go through the process, and I've gone through the steps in the past couple of weeks, And the past week that we went through, we talked about, we get down to the character defects, you know. And when I found out I had character defects, I started to get excited because I felt that there was nobody home inside of me. You know, and I felt like, oh, well, there's something still alive there. Because when I came into the rooms, I really felt like nothing. And I felt like if you really knew me, you'd move away from me too. And for the first time in my life, people were telling me to keep coming back, you know, and it just really, I can't tell you what it did to me, you know. You made me feel welcome. You took me out for coffee. When I came into the rooms, I was homeless. I was living in my friend on my friend Neil's couch. I was sleeping in my friend Hattie's bed. And it wasn't because I didn't have money. It was because I was unmanageable. I had money in the bank and no place to live and didn't know how to do it. And I wasn't too sure that I wanted to live. I hurt so badly in those times. And if that's your experience, what I'm telling you is to come in here and get into the work because it will change your whole life. And I was very fortunate because I came in here and I found the people that told me, let us love you too, you can learn to love yourself. And I love that. And I can still even feel in the early days saying, am I going to be all right? Am I going to be all right? And people telling me, yes, you're going to be all right. You know? And I always share, thank God they didn't tell me I was all right back then, because then I'd know both of us were in trouble. But anyway, so I'm in the rooms and people are loving me. And they're also giving me the message straight. When I drank at the end, it was no pinky up in the air. It was no cute little wine glass. It was straight out of the bottle. And I would wake up in the horrors of hell praying that my bottle was under the bed because I couldn't put my feet on the floor unless I had something in me so that I could start my day and go out and get what else I needed to get through that day. And I came in here and I was given the message of Alcoholics Anonymous straight. I was told from the very beginning that the answers are in the steps. I'm so grateful for that. People didn't pull punches with me. But they gave it to me and they gave it to me with a lot of love. My sponsor would sit and listen to me talk and rant and rave all night and she'd direct me to the solution all the time. So I was given wonderful recovery. And Rockaway Recovery has given me so much over the years. You know, when I think about the sixth, when I think about the seventh and the eighth, and to me the eighth step is like really like a relationship step, you know, because it helps me to straighten out some of the relationships. And there's some people in the room tonight that a couple of years ago things were a little dark. As a matter of fact, at different times during my recovery, it's been very dark. And I know some people in here are going through some pretty heavy things. And when you go through the heavy things, you start to understand what really are difficulties and what really is just situations. And I shared that when I came in the first year, I celebrated 1 year, and then I found out that my only child had a very deadly disease, and that straightened me right out. Because I remember people saying to me, are you celebrating Christmas this year? I was celebrating Tuesday. I was celebrating 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was celebrating everything because I realized how precious life was right up front. So things started to happen. And then a couple of years ago, I was in my home group in the morning, on a Sunday morning, and I remember raising my hand and sharing, because I like the whole program. It's the steps, it's the sharing, it's the fellowship, it's the three side of the triangle, it's all of it. And I remember getting the courage up and raising my hand that I don't know where my only child is. I don't know if she's dead or alive. And Jimmy Doyle was at the meeting, and he shared, and he's since gone on to heaven, and he shared something about that he had difficulties with a relationship with his daughter for 27 years. And I started to pray, and I said, God, I don't have the faith that 27 years, you know. And sometimes that's what it's like, because I'm here coming up on 24 years, and I know what it feels like to pray for someone in the beginning, and you get all the hope, and, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to make it. And somehow it just doesn't work out, you know. How are you going to endure through those times? A lot of us are mothers. We have kids. And we know what it feels like to have your heart ripped right, having double-digit years right in the rooms, standing here sharing, giving out good AA, and feeling like on the inside you just don't know if you want to live or die sometimes. I know what that feels like. I've been here. And on that day, I remember sharing that. And then I went to another meeting that night. And the leader lit the candle for this still sick and suffering alcoholic. And I claimed that candle for my daughter. And the next night at 3 o'clock in the morning, because you know when we're active, we don't operate by a clock. there's the knock on my door, and there's my child. And she's pretty messed up. And shortly after that, we were to find out that she was pregnant again. She'd lost about 5 or 6 babies. One of them came right in my bath toilet bowl one night. And she didn't even know she was pregnant. And I thought, oh my God, you sent her home because I'm going to have to bury another grandchild. And it hurt. And she was trying to hold on. And a few short months after that, at 4 o'clock in the morning on October 30th, she's coming and waking me up. Mom, I'm in labor. And I'm like, well, we got to go to the hospital. And no, it's coming now. And I'm on the phone and I'm talking with someone and I'm thinking, like, I don't even know what to think. And that was 3.5 years ago. And my little William made his entrance into the world and he's been booming ever since. And that baby is a miracle. And I had the blessing. I didn't feel like it at the time. It was scary. But to deliver my own grandson. But the point I wanted to make is that this little boy didn't have one stitch of clothing because I didn't think he was going to be here. I didn't know if he was going to make it. And he was born on a Tuesday morning. And by that Saturday, all you people from Rockaway came, filled up my house, and filled up his closet. That kid had a crib. He had 2 strollers. He had every piece of article that he could want. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous is, you know? And I love Easter time, and it makes me think of people that lived thousands of years ago. And I remember someone saying to one of his followers, are you going to leave me? And he said, where would I go? And that's what I feel like. That's how strong Alcoholics Anonymous is in my heart. And so tonight we're on step 7. So we talked about the character defects because that's what we find out in steps 4 and 5 and in 6. And now we're getting into the process and the difference to me. And I heard Bill Wilson had shared that defects of character, shortcomings, or wrongs, they're all the same thing. You know, he just wanted to use different words to say the same thing. So now I'm getting into the process. Now I'm going to humbly ask him to humbly remove them. And I'll tell you what, when they cause me enough pain, I gladly raise my hand and share it. But when they're not causing you that pain, and when you start to kind of like them, you know, where do you go with that? So we have a prayer, you know. And just like with the 3rd step prayer, somebody had to break it down for me so I could understand what it meant before I was going to say it. It's the same thing with the 7th step prayer. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me. Am I really ready to give up all of these things? But what I just read said that I'm now willing. So I don't have to be ready. I just have to be willing. And willing doesn't mean I have to like it. Willing just means I go on with the action. You know, I heard a long time ago that you don't think your way into good living. Not with this twisted mind. Not with the mind that will always, and you're laughing so you know what I'm talking about. This mind will always take me back to a drink. It will always take me back to that which will always kill me. And what I learned over the years is it doesn't have to be alcohol. Alcohol has had many forms for me over the years. And when you're here for a while, you realize, at least I came to realize, that I was powerless over things that had nothing to do with alcohol. But would kill me also. And what happens is it kills me spiritually. And if it kills me spiritually, it's got me. It doesn't really, the lower power, the alcohol, it doesn't really care if I'm drinking. If I'm walking around and I'm in a state of total depression and there's no joy, it's got me. You know, that's the beginning. Picking up the drink is the last process of it. I can't speak about relapsing on alcohol because that's not my story. But I can tell you about relapsing on emotions and relapsing in relationships and, you know, and relapsing on food and other stuff. There was other stuff, many other things over the years that got my attention, and that's what I have to be careful, because I have to be careful where I'm looking, because I tend to go where I'm looking, and what gets my attention does get me, you know. So it's really important that I try to stay focused. I was told early on to write positive affirmations, and it's helped so much over the years. It was like the true lies. Many times I sat in bar stools and I told people next to me, oh, when I stop drinking, I'm going here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And never got off the bar stool, you know, never left the block. So I would start write these affirmations, and they would start to come true. Because I hated myself. I think somebody talked about that here a couple of weeks ago. I remember in early recovery, I was told to go look in the mirror and look straight in my eyes and say, I love you. Try that. Go home and try that. That was so, I cried for hours. But I learned to love myself. And I learned to love myself because you guys started showing me love. I didn't know what love was. I had love and lust all confused, you know. And I came in here and I met people that didn't want anything from me. All they wanted to do was to help me. Most amazing thing. So I'm going through the prayer. Am I really ready to give up these things? So my Creator, I'm willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. Now I'm looking at my list of character defects, and God knows the last time I did it, it was long. It was long, and I didn't even have to think about what they were because I was given a list, and it was like, go through this list. And the biggest things on the list was playing God and not trusting God. That was in every single relationship that I had, because there I was, I'm getting upset because I'm playing God and I'm not trusting God. So what I needed to do was I had listed the opposite of all the character defects. I have done that at different times in my recovery, and it doesn't mean that I'm working on my character defects, because, like I said, what I give my attention to, if I'm giving my attention to character defects, that's what's going to grow. But I was doing it with the opposite. I was a liar when I came here. I stole when I came here. I stole when I had double-digit years in the rooms when I came here. I didn't want to do the eighth step. I started to share that with you guys. What happened was a couple of years ago, I was placed, you know those little coincidences, the synchronicity, how do you say it, Bonnie?
Synchronicity.
I always get that word crazy. But when things start to line up for my highest good, there's God. So a couple of years ago, we ended up on this wonderful, wonderful big book weekend. And if you've never been on one, I would urge everybody to go on one. It was so wonderful. It was the start of a big change in my life. And here I am. I had about 20 years and had never been through the big book line by line, word by word. Now, where am I going to go with that? Am I going to stand behind false pride and say, you don't know who you're talking to? Because I could lead step meetings and stuff, and I could even tell you out of the book, you know, because I had enough of bits and pieces and stuff. Or was I going to get humble and ask someone who had a couple of years, was much younger than I was, different sex, to ask them? And as a matter of fact, he was taking one of my sponsees through it. And that's what I did, because I wanted what you guys had. I wanted it. I saw it. It was so alive. It was so evident. And so I was blessed that he did. But I was frightened from that retreat, from that weekend, because I was scared to get into the eighth step. Not because of the things that I did when I was out there. I was scared because of the things that I've done since I got here. And what I found out, it wasn't even just the things that I did since I got here. It was the things that I did after we had started the process, because I got involved in more stuff. But what was happening is when you go through this work, you start developing a relationship with the person that's helping you. And many times I would go and meet him, and I would say, just like I did when I had 30 days, I ain't telling them that today. I'm keeping that to myself, and try to keep it to yourself. I never could. It gave me relief. It gave me relief. And so I started getting honest, and I started talking about what I was doing, and I wasn't liking it. And he was also giving me good orderly direction and a lot of love. And so when it came to get to the eighth step, like I said, I did something else that I thought I would never do. And it hurt a lot, and I didn't want to face it. And I had to face it when it came to the eighth step, and it was about money. And I don't do well with credit cards. I don't usually keep them. Usually when I buy things on credit, I'm from old school, I try to pay it back right away. Because 4 or 5 months from now, when you're giving me a bill and I can't remember what was, you know, what I even bought with that, I don't want to be bothered, you know? So, but now I got to pay back someone money, and I go to the person, and I said to her, and meanwhile, this person that was taking me through the book left town for a while. So now I'm up here trying to figure all this stuff out. And so I went to my sponsor. So I go to the person that I owed the money to, and I said, I'm going to give you back. I want to give you this money. And she said, I don't want it. And I said, great, I got it now. It's good. It's good. I'm on a roll here. So I run and I call my sponsor. And I said, oh, this is good. You know, I faced up to it. And she said, I don't have to pay it. And she said, yes, you do. And I didn't like that. You know, and there's been many times I didn't like that. So I went up and I paid. And it says to make the best deal possible when we're dealing with our financial stuff for yourself. And I did. But the reason I'm sharing this because this thing, it opened up my spirit. I can't tell you what it did for me. When I left her that day, I went to a meeting, It was on a Friday. It was at Fort Tilden, and I saw Eileen was there, and I was just, you couldn't touch me. You couldn't take what I had. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to run out and make amends to everybody. And you know how it talks about our crazy mind, how the mind... I have done so many things over the years. I've learned how to meditate. I've read other books and stuff. That thinking mind was gone. And I've had many periods of time where it has been gone. But it was gone for a long time. It was gone for several months. And I was blessed. I was taking quite a few people through the book at that time. And I was playing hard, I was living hard, I was working hard, and we had a ball. Last summer was an absolute ball. We went to so many concerts. It was just, we were on the beach, we were kayaking. It was so much fun, and I was so free, and I didn't have the to-do lists in my head, and I wasn't being bogged down. And I really attribute it to this, because that's when there's promises with mostly all of the steps. But that's when I started, that's when my spirit was really starting to just open up and be, you know, and it was wonderful. But to share what I'm going to share next, I got to go back a little bit about the eighth step. I did the eighth step in early recovery also, and my mother got very sick in the early days. Matter of fact, my father died before I even got here. My father died in 1985, and by 1986, I was really bottoming out. And I heard that some have to die so some of us can live. And I really believe that's what happened. And I believe he was in a better place because he had 15 years of AA behind him, too. And I remember when he died, I remember taking his coin. I didn't understand it at the time, but I knew that was so important to him. And I put his coin in his suit, and I said, "You got your dying wish," because my father's dying wish was to die sober. I didn't understand that at the time. That made no sense to me back then when I was drinking. But I got it. And then my mother got very sick. And then I took my mother. My father came to live with me before he died. And then my mother got very sick. And she came to Rockaway to live with me and my daughter. My daughter was back in my life at that time, too. And I remember in 1991, she got very sick. And she's in the hospital. And the doctor says, "Do what you have to do, Kathy. 99.99, she's not making it through the night." And I know the doctors are a high source, but I know we have a much higher power. And I went home and I prayed and I meditated, and I just didn't get a sense that she was going anywhere. And I went the next day and she opened up her eyes, and her recovery was long coming back. She was on a respirator, but when she was finally able to talk, she said she met God. And God told her to go back, that your work wasn't done yet. And during that last year of her life, we were able to do a ninth step with each other. And I sat there and listened to her, because she wanted to apologize to me. That woman did nothing harmful to me, but she felt she had, and I learned that it was important for me to sit and listen to her talk. And then the next September, she got very sick, and the nurse said, "Kathy, she's not going to last 4 hours. I said, I heard myself say my mother's going to die on September 28th. My daughter was with me, and I didn't understand it at the time, and my mother died on September 28th. And if people said, "Well, then you were prepared." You're not prepared when your mother dies. Never. But to me, it was God. I just knew that God was there with us. So here I am back in last summer, and I'm all around the place, and I'm having a ball. And my daughter comes to visit me with my grandson, William, and he's crazy running all around the house, and it's just wonderful. Life is happening all over. And my youngest brother is very sick. And my daughter came for a night, and she ended up staying for about 3 months. And I loved it. I loved every part of it. You know, that's the way my house is. I have raised more of other people's kids over the years, and that's the way my house has pretty much been for a long time. So here's my little grandson and my family, and my youngest brother's getting sicker and sicker. And I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. And so I'm praying to God, and I'm praying to my mother. And I said, "All right, Mom, I'm going to take your son home to live with me." And I went to visit him one day in the hospital, and they said they were going to release him the next day. And they released him on the anniversary of her death, September 28th. So I knew it was what it was supposed to go. But I'm scared, and I'm at the meeting because he's got colonoscopy bags on him. I don't know how to do any of this. And one of my sponsees is at the meeting, and I said, "I don't know how to do any of this." She said, "But I do." And that proved true because she had to come over many times. And then one of my other sponsees was there, and she said, "Kathy, I'm picking you up first thing in the morning." And she did. She stayed with me for 10 hours and went through the whole process. And then once again, AA was there. every morning, people calling me up in the morning, you know, giving back to me. And then my brother's living with me, and I remember one night rubbing his arm and washing it and just looking him in the eyes and thinking that this is as close to the face of God that I'm going to get right here on earth. And it didn't feel good. It felt painful, but I knew it was right, and I knew it was a living amends. And the night came when I said to him, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the times that I wasn't there for you. Because I always feel like I come up short. You know, I always thought that it's still not enough, you know. And he turned around and he said to me, I said, is there anything that I can do? You know, because I was given the index cards too with the questions. You know, ask them. I know this is what I've done. Is there anything else you can tell me that I've done? You know, what can I do? And he said, you already did. So where it never felt good enough for me, it was good enough for him, you know, and that's what I have to hold on to. And that's what AA gave me, the grace to be able to show up for other people. I wanted to run, but it didn't work out that way. So these steps, especially step eight, means an awful lot to me because it gives me a chance to rewrite my obituary, steps eight and nine. Because if I would have died in 87, I don't know who would have even showed up. And that was another blessing, too. When my brother Johnny died, once again, the chapel was filled with who? AA. AA showed up again, all the time, you know. So I've been truly blessed. Because that's what I heard. You know, we're going to go through things here. Life on life terms happens, and sometimes it's really hard. But we don't have to go through it alone. And with the higher power that I've met in the rooms that I've got, that AA brought me to, it's just miraculous. It's not one that's beating me up. It's one that's there for me at all times. I don't know what else to share with you by the book. Oh, I want to share with you also, I thought I had my sponsor on one of these, because I also like the 12 and 12 also. And I appreciate what the 12 and 12 was written in a humble manner also, because it's still, even though it was written many years after the big book, it still says that the big book, that the book Alcoholics Anonymous is the basic text still. This just gives us a broaden our understanding. And it's broadened my understanding on a lot of things. On step three, it told me that the effectiveness of the whole program rests on how well I can get into that third step. And in the eighth step, it talks about that the cause of my alcoholism, the immediate cause of my woes and my alcoholism was defective relationships. And that's helped me to understand the eighth step a lot more. And the eighth step gives a lot of directions. It also told me what my real purpose, I thought my real purpose was not to drink. My real purpose is to help, is to serve others. No, it says my real purpose is to fit myself so I can be a maximum service to God and to others. I don't know how he's going to use me. I was in two places this week where, because it talks about God's going to remove the defects of character that stand in the way. He doesn't remove all of them. And I saw this happen twice this week and with other people, and it was a blessing because I saw them act out very wanting to help, and they did. And I saw how God used their stuff to help other alcoholics. So it's great because I see it all the time now. So it gives me directions on how to approach others. It tells me what to do about money, criminal offenses. The one that Nancy usually sits next to me when we read this at meetings, because I still want to choke Bill sometimes. and if I can remember where it is. Where he's talking about the sexual stuff, and he's talking about the cheating men, and he said, if we can forget, it's as good for the wife as for the husband. If we can forget, so can she. I still have trouble with that statement. Say that to a woman who's been cheated on and see how quickly you want to forget, you know? But anyway, I love the book, and I love the ninth step promises. Like I said, they're not the only promises. My friend Debbie always says that sometimes you may be the only version of the big book that a person may see. And I heard Dr. Bob said to carry the message, and if necessary, use words. You know, because people are watching us. They're watching us by our actions. So if I want to be a copy of the big book for people to see, I got to know what's in it, first of all, you know? And I got to learn to live it, you know? So I just, like I said, I love everything about AA. I love the promises. So many of them have taken place in my life. The word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, and there's been many things that I have done that I have been totally ashamed of, and I saw how my experience had helped others. I wish somebody else had the experience, and they could have helped the other people. But it just happened to be my experience. So all I want to say is, no matter where you are, I don't know who the beginners are in this room or where you are, but I just want to encourage everyone. This stuff really does work. Thank you.